It's Monday, February 28th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and we've got a great show lined up for you, and lots of chaos going on here and within the Cochran family. Lots to talk about, lots of tech, lots to share. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
Go flight.
Music bed.
Go flight.
Microphone.
Go flight.
Video feed.
Go flight.
Web browser.
Go flight.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flight.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Voice ready confirmed.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course, I encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content there. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link as well. When you're at the site, make sure you sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter will contain everything I share during this show. We have all the show links, everything that's going on with basically within this episode. And that's the only time we really email blast you unless there's an emergency. And but anyway, thanks for checking out the newsletter and getting subscribed. Of course, you can subscribe to the show via the second column of the website as well by basically putting a subscribing to the RSS feed. A little distracted tonight. Let me tell you why here in just a second. But you can... get subscribed to the show, and of course, the podcast link there is for audio or video, so you can pick whichever poison you want. If those of you are watching on Ustream, I want to thank you for watching. Of course, those of you on Justin.tv as well, welcome to the show. And of course, those of you that are catching the show post-show, whether it be via the Roku, Boxy, whether it be via your iPod, your iPad, your Zoom, and all the other different devices where you can watch or listen to the show, welcome to the show. Of course, those of you listening to us on the BlackBerry, welcome as well. Hey, lots going on. Crazy stuff here. It's started Friday morning, I guess. I got basically a call from my ex-wife out in Florida. She had informed me that my daughter, who's was on a ski trip, had gotten hurt. And the initial report from her mother was she broke her hip, and I was pretty freaking out about that. Got her on the phone, got my daughter on the phone, and it wasn't her hip, it was her wrist. It's interesting how those translations happen, but dealing with getting her kind of fixed up initially, and she's back in Florida and be going to see a doctor, I think, tomorrow. I think she's got a couple of broken bones in there, so they may have to do a little surgery on her, but... yeah, kind of a busy time, and then, you know, it's one of those situations where you have lots of things going on, a broken heart, a broken car, broken wrist, and a broken laptop, you know, and she's like, why is all this stuff happening to me at once? And so I've been text back and forth with her a little bit tonight, trying to help her with her laptop and get her up and get her so she can use it, and she says that didn't work either, so I just got her to a certain point, but I'll have to help her later. So anyway, that was what was distracting me here, and she's been buzzing me. I told her to watch the show, and after the show, maybe we could chat. So I don't know, maybe she can go and use her mom's computer. But yeah, you know, in a 21-year-old, this is life-devastating stuff. So, you know, I'm just working through with her on this. But that's what I guess what being a dad is all about. But, you know, besides the family stuff, everything else is good here in Hawaii. We're doing good. Had a great weekend with the family, and actually got a lot of work done on Saturday at our Saturday morning tech show. So that's up and online. So definitely check that out. And then, of course, spent Saturday. My son went to a robotics, basically it was a Friday, Saturday and Sunday. He went to a robotics seminar. It was one of the kids picked from his school. So I didn't know it was just him and a couple of other people that were part of a group that was invited. So I'm pretty excited about where he's headed with that stuff. Now, one thing that kind of did get thrown by the wayside was we're supposed to give away an Apple TV tonight. And what I didn't do on Friday's show is I didn't send out the newsletter with the link on how you can get involved. So I'll have that in tonight's newsletter on how you can become involved, and we'll give the Apple TV away on Friday's show, okay? So push that back a week and get everyone a chance to participate if they so choose. Detail will be in the show notes, and detail will also be, of course, sent out in the newsletter. Hey, we're here at the end of the month. I want to thank all the sponsors. Of course, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here, Luxor Las Vegas, and, of course, Audible.com. And all these are great sponsors here being able to help me keep the lights on. So definitely consider supporting our sponsors here throughout the end of the month and, of course, into March as we roll into March. And, of course, GoDaddy.com, great place to get domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts. Almost any type of online service that you want, you can find it over at GoDaddy.com. And I have a whole host of promo codes for you to use. The promo codes really will save you a bunch of money. You can use the Todd code. That'll save you 10% on non-domain orders. You can use Geek5. That'll save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Geek199, that'll get you $1.99.coms if you're a brand new customer. Of course, CES25 as well, which is another great code to use with the folks over there at GoDaddy. And of course, thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. And you can find all those codes at geeknecentral.com/GoDaddy. So I didn't have that thing up in the net window. So I should have had that. I should have had that up, but I did not. All right. You know, one thing, my son came home, my youngest today. He's 7, and he just got done. He had a basketball game, so they got back a little bit late, and I said, come on, let's go take a shower. So him and I jumped in the shower, and I'm, you know, washing his hair, and I'm like, so how was everything today? And he says, Dad, you know what the teacher told me at school today? And I said, well, what's that? And he said, she told the class that Santa Claus wasn't real. Now, for parents that have any kids listening that are at that age still, where, you know, that whole, you know, anyway, turn the volume down. Anyway, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that she had told this whole class. I'm like, you know, don't get me wrong. It's 7-year-olds, right? But he says, what do you think of that? And I said, well, I said, Chris, you know, I said, what do your friends say? Well, they say the same thing. And I said, well, just, you know, if Santa Claus is real in your heart, it's real, you know, and we're not even in Christmas season. We're in February, and the teacher in the class is telling him that Santa Claus is not real. I was like, wow. I don't know if there's any other kids that went home and told their parents this tonight, but I was kind of, wow. I was kind of surprised that topic even came up, but, you know, it's, 7-year-olds are at that, or at least mine is at that teeter-totter age. So anyway, kind of funny, interesting conversation in the shower talking about that, in other words. But I tell you what, I want to welcome the 100 listeners from 181 countries, I believe 181 or 182. I need to do the recount on that. But if you're listening outside of the United States, we appreciate you listening to the show. And thank you for being part of the Ohana here. And, of course, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show, thanks for being part of the family, being part of the Ohana. It is my pleasure. And I got kind of to reflecting tonight. I was telling Natalie, usually things kind of happen in threes, right? You have, she had her car broke. She's dealing with a broken heart. And then she broke her wrist. I said, and then she didn't add the laptop thing. So it really turned into kind of a fours. And, I'm kind of telling her, there's times in your life when things will come at you that will have to make you sit back and really kind of reflect and look at what you're doing and give you a chance to, make changes. It's a good time to, make changes and redirect energies and sometimes reinventing yourself. And, when I was laying in the hospital room in 2004, and matter of fact, just coming out of surgery the day before my 40th birthday, I really had some time to reflect. You know, I was lucky. The doctor said I was a 3 percenter in that the way my vertebrae crushed and the displacement of my spinal cord and, you know, the 97% of the people that suffered the same type of injury were, you know, destined for a wheelchair for the rest of their life. And so being a 3 percenter, and that's what I kind of talk about from time to time, really allowed me to kind of reflect on where I wanted to go. And a lot of the motivation for this show and a lot of the motivation for what we have done at Podcast Connect and Raw Voice and all that stuff was all about really making a difference. And you guys were here, many of you, when we were here with show one, when I was still recovering from that injury, and I was in a hotel room out in Texas, and a lot of it was, you know, a desire to really change things and really move forward with the, you know, I just didn't want to continue doing the same old, and it was, you know, an opportunity to expand. I think we've all been faced with that from time to time, either a loss of a job, loss of a loved one, you know, there's all kinds of things, there's these life-changing events, and she's had her first big one here as a, you know, as an adult. So I'm just, you know, kind of reflecting how things have happened to me. And I'm sure many of you have had the same thing happen. I know this is not part of the, obviously, tech here, but, you know, you guys are all part of the family here, part of the Ohana. And I've shared with you guys from time to time different things. And it's just one of those deals where, you know, you just hope that the fortitude is strong and the, you know, what comes out is a much tougher, stronger, resilient package and wiser. And that's all you can hope for, and you hope you can guide it the right way. And it's you know, it's one of those things, one of those events. And you know, as I said, hey, you know, the wrist will heal. You know, luckily you didn't fall on your head or something worse. So it was, you know, and that's one thing that when hearts will heal, and you know, everything happens for a reason. It does, and I truly believe that. But I thank you all of you for being here, being part of the family. Of course, it is greatly appreciated, and for letting me to kind of ramble here for a little bit at the beginning of the show. Of course, if you're thinking about going out to Vegas and having a good time there, think about my good friends at Luxor Las Vegas. They took care of us at CES. They were really made it possible for us to bring this big, huge team that we took out there this year and did all that great content. Come over to the website at geeknewscentral.com. Click on the new Luxor Las Vegas banner on the website. Book your next hotel at Luxor Las Vegas and let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring the tech podcast team that went out there in January. And it'd be definitely appreciated by me if you do that. Well, what else have I got on my list of stuff here? Of course, you can go over to geeknewscentral.com/offers. There's all our typical commercial offers are there. And of course, if you want to pick up some stuff from the Ohana store, you can do that at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And of course, follow me on Twitter. It's Twitter name is Geek News. And if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. All right, what have I got here in a stack for you tonight? I've got a pile. Actually, I whittled it down. I know when I load Chrome on my, see, what have you here, 24-inch monitor. What is the size of this thing? I don't know what the model number is. But anyway, when I have a large listing of basically tabs across the top, what will happen is that the tabs will white out and I won't see what companies they're from. And I'll know by then, I know I've got too much content. So I got rid of some of those tabs and I've got a stack of stuff for you. But one thing I've been kind of watching, and there's been some news reflection on really the space program. And one thing I found at Wired was there's a whole story behind the epic battle. And actually the title of the article is The Epic Battle Behind the Apollo. Yes, the Apollo spacesuit. And there's quite the story there. And I'm not going to go into the gory details of this. But essentially, it was some entrepreneurs who were willing to fight to and outdo traditional companies to win the contract to build the first spacesuit. And I know someday I'd really like to get my hands on, you know, go down to the space agency. Wouldn't you like to touch that and feel it? And I really like to have the information on how that suit was sealed and everything went along and making it airtight and protecting the astronauts. You know, that had to be quite the feat back then, and still have the fabric flexible enough to be able to do what they needed to do on the surface of the moon. So pretty cool stuff anyway. But anyway, the epic battle behind the Apollo spacesuit, and I have that link up in the show notes. Now, speaking of Las Vegas, if you get out to Vegas and in 5 years from now, you may see a new stadium, actually a new sports complex. There's a battle on right now in Vegas to put together what's called the Las Vegas Stadium Plan. It's actually three stadiums for a total $1.6 billion. And a group of investors are looking to add these type of facilities to downtown Las Vegas, be able to do baseball, basketball, hockey, football, you name it. They want us, three stadiums to be able to cover everything. And the group is pretty optimistic. If all pieces fall into place, they can break ground on the spot a little later this year. So this is pretty amazing here. Now, the UNLV is looking to build a stadium, and they're only going to build a stadium that holds 40,000 people. And if they do what Hawaii did, the stadium here is woefully too small. So maybe this will be a direct competition. But I just thought this from a standpoint of, if people are looking to invest that type of money right now, the economy has to be back, you know, on its way back for them to consider spending $1.6 billion in building three separate stadiums as a sporting complex in the Las Vegas area, or right there close to downtown Las Vegas. How many of you that listen to the show, and I know we have a few of you that do farming for a living. And matter of fact, many of you know my history. When I grew up, my grandfather had a cash crop farm. I spent many an hour basically working the farm, working with animals. I'm truly a country boy by heart when I was younger. And, but, you know, there's new legislation being proposed down in Florida. They could put people in jail for taking a photograph of a farm without permission. Now, we always prided ourselves in having the farm look beautiful, and we wanted people to take pictures. And, you know, but seriously, the senator down in Florida, specifically Jim Norman from Tampa, he wants to stop people from taking pictures of the farm without permission as a way to stop animal rights activists from photographing questionable conditions of animals on farms. Now, I'll be honest with you. We raised animals. We treated them humanely, and we were very cognizant of their condition and their bedding and everything that went along with raising livestock. And I'm appalled at some of the things I see today with puppy farms and this type of stuff. It's pretty amazing. But I just think this is a pretty overreaching law to say that it'd make it a felony to photograph farms. And, you know, that's, come on, if you're out in the open and you want to take a picture, it's one thing to sneak onto somebody's property and start doing something, but it's another if you're standing at the road and taking pictures, then, you know, I think that's within the public domain. But I don't know. It's just kind of a little bit weird for me here. And here we are. He's claiming that this is intellectual property. Now, if you go to some places in the Midwest, they will have, for health reasons, you're not allowed to visit a pork farm or where they're raising pigs. They have, you know, pigs are very susceptible to disease, and they basically almost go through a clean room situation to get into the farming operation. But it's kind of interesting here that they're claiming, and that is truly intellectual type of property, and the things that they do to to make sure that the animals stay healthy. But here you've got this taking pictures. I just kind of blows me away. It really does. I think that we went off the deep end on this one for sure. I don't know if it has any chance of going through, but it just makes you go, what else? What's next? One more governmental control can be thrown in there. All right, feds have, this is crazy. Now, we all know that the Patriot Act and all these other rules and these secret commissions and everything else allows the government really to do pretty much what they want to do these days in checking people out and wiretapping them and doing all these different kinds of activities that used to require a court, you know, public court order or actually a warrant from a judge and all the other activities that what we were used to. But it appears that the feds went and got a reporter's phone. Yes, a reporter. He got his phone, credit card, and bank records and trying to track a leaker. This is insane. So the government went after this reporter named James Risens in order to get his notes from an interview he'd done with another individual who was leaking information. And he says, this is a quote, he says, although there have been other public controversies over subpoenas, Reeland threatened to, no, this is the, I guess, is this from him? Anyway, I'll read this quote. Although there have been public controversies over subpoenas, Reeland threatened to reporters in recent years, there have been a few, if any, cases in which it has been documented that federal prosecutors obtained the bank records and credit reports of journalists. And they actually went in and showed the court order that involved some of the stuff that was done against basically information that they obtained from various sources to go after a specific leaker that was leaking information, I guess, on the government. I don't know what exactly information he was leaking information on, but gosh, where will it stop? You know, and this is being supported by the current administration. Of course, the previous administration did it as well. But this reporter says that the current administration has bought more indictments for leaking than all other presidents combined before them. So I guess they don't like people. And I don't know, again, what type of information is being leaked. I didn't go that deep into the article. But when any time the federal government goes after reporters' information, boy, it just makes your old skin stand up on your arm. It really does. A little more on governmental concerns. ICE boss John Morton, Politico, where he basically trotted out a bunch of highly questionable statements. He said, "We don't have an interest in going after bloggers or discussion boards," he said. "We're not about what is being said by anybody. We're about making sure that the intellectual property laws of the United States, which are clear and are enforced. When someone spends hundreds of millions of dollars to develop the next movie or $1 billion to develop the next heart medicine, the innovation and the enterprise that went into that effect is protected as law provides. It's that simple. In regards to the seizing of domain names, he says, we can seize and forfeit them just like we seize and forfeit bank accounts, houses, and vehicles that are used in other crimes. Any instrument of a crime is subject to our jurisdiction in terms of seizure and forfeit. So pretty interesting write-up here. And this is on Tech Dirt. They went into the details of this guy's comments. And so this is the first time that there's really been a public statement made on some of the activities that ICE has had and Homeland Security has had on taking down websites that they have deemed to be infringing. Folks have been maybe selling fake brand name items and so forth. You know, if you're going to take these sites down, why don't you just indict them? Why don't you go through the standard court process to do this? It doesn't appear that they're doing this. They're using different rules to bring these sites down. So this is pretty crazy stuff. And, of course, we've been witness to that here over the past, you know, and if the sites are doing illegal stuff, then, you know, I agree, take them down. But if it's, but do it through a normal due process, you know. It's very scary. It really, really is. Let's shift topics here, and we're going to go into a little bit of security. There's a good write-up on Infoworld.com talking about 20 years of innovative Windows malware. this is just a really big title here. Ingenuity to Nefarious Ends, the evolution of groundbreaking Windows malware shed light on what's to come. And he goes on to talk about Windows being under siege for 20 years. and talks about what has, you know, what has developed. And we've gotten to the point now where, you know, there's been attacks against nuclear centrifuges and hacks against electrical power grids. And you name it, there's been all kinds of stuff that's been gone after, not only Windows machines, but a variety of other computer operating systems as well. But he goes into some detail of the evolution of really malware that's in primarily in Windows machines over the last 20 years. It's a 6-page article. I have the link up for you in the show notes. But they go into some deep detail here and talks about you know, some of the malware that started happening back in the mid-80s as well. So I have that link up in the show notes for you. You can check it out. Pretty good read, and I spent some time going through it today. You know, the longer people are on the internet, the more devious they become. We all know that there's been all kinds of scams done by people claiming that they have been robbed and need money and they're on travel, or, you know, that's a scam that was tried, someone attempted to run on me just before Christmas, and, oh, I'm in UK, I've been robbed, I have no money, can you send me some cash? And it was somebody that I knew, but I didn't know well enough for them to would have ever asked me for cash. And I knew immediately there was, the gig was up. But apparently a very lonely heart, a 48-year-old Illinois man, has experienced an online scam of monumental proportions. For the past 2 years, a woman he believed to be his online girlfriend turned out to be a fake. And his money has disappeared with her. So he went 2 years with this online relationship. And during a recent episode, she had come up online and said she was had been kidnapped. And they demanded a ransom, and they went after him for a ransom. So they asked him to wire money to bank accounts in Nigeria, red flag, Malaysia, red flag, and England. And an identification card the woman provided the man was a sample driver's license from Florida. And apparently, when the officer told the man that the woman did not exist, he was in disbelief. So, fellas and ladies, maybe it would be a good idea before your online acquaintance, who is all of a sudden you've known for a while, starts indicating that they have been kidnapped, it might be a good idea to get law enforcement involved and make sure you got the right person. He wired $200,000. What lonely hearts will do. Very, very sad situation. And wow. Probably the guy's lifetime savings. H.B. Gary Federal CEO Aaron Barr has stepped down. Of course, H.B. Gary has gotten not very much good press over the past couple of weeks. And with the online mischief that the group Anonymous did to their website and their business, he has left the company. So the announcement comes 3 weeks after Barr became the target of a coordinated attack. And he basically said he's leaving because it's for the betterment of the company. No, he said he is stepping down to allow himself and the company he ran into move on in the wake of the high-profile hack. And he's been asked to leave. He didn't step down. He got canned. Oh, man. Amazing. All right, let's talk a little bit about app development. And law enforcement is making a big move right now. And they're at doing congressional hearings. U.S. House Committee on the Judiciary recently held a hearing on the general problems faced by law enforcement in today's internet. And essentially, the FBI's general counsel described problems faced by law enforcement in being able to tap applications that allow people to communicate with one another. So what this is specifically going to probably result in is some sort of legislation, which is going to force app developers who have apps that are able to allow communications between two parties, they have some sort of a mechanism that law enforcement can get in there and sniff or get the details of this traffic that's going back and forth. Now, there hasn't been any laws enacted at this point, but the implication was that it'd be a good idea if developers of internet applications just, you know, included the ability. Now, to me, this is, again, where, you know, if you have an application where there is communications going back and forth and it's private, you know, you could be forced by the courts to make this access or make this content or make the conversation available to. So it's something, if you're an app developer, you need to think about. I'm not saying that you have to build this in, but be realize that you could be compelled to do so. So this is interesting. And, you know, apps have, you know, it used to be the mobile networks, used to be your landlines, radio communications, that type of stuff. You know, people only had so many ways to communicate with one another, email, texting, all that stuff is pretty easy to, for the government to get in there and sniff if they need to. But when you come to, especially when they get a wiretap and they go in and, you know, jack into the place where the conversation's happening, here's a situation where app developers may now be forced to have some sort of backdoor into their networks. So more and more stuff going on with Uncle Sam wanting to have access to these different types of conversations going on. All right, AT&T hackers made Bell. Remember, boy, this guy who's been in jail for a while. One of the two men accused of hacking AT&T's website to grab personal information from the iPad has been released on bail. He raised the $50,000 bond, and he's out awaiting trial. The other individual still is in jail, unable to make bond. So we'll see where this goes over time. All right, federal rules. This was all over the internet today. Federal rules ensure Apple iTunes has right to Comcast NBC content. The agreement was finally made public today, and all the rules that were put in place by the FCC. In the terms of the acquisition that was approved, Comcast has agreed to let online rivals that compete with its own cable subscriptions and online Fancast product license NBC programming, according to the Associated Press. Though NBC shows are already available on the iTunes Store, NBC has not participated in Apple's 99-cent iTunes TV show rental program for the new Apple TV. And they're going to have to make this content available on Apple iTunes and other devices. So I'm sure this will be some sort of due process and negotiation that goes back and forth. But federal officials purportedly attached dozens of conditions to the government's approval of the Comcast NBC deal. Specifically, Comcast must sell its content to online video services, though no specific provisions were made again for pricing. In addition, now there's some cool things in here for guarantee of service. It's saying that Comcast may not interfere with video traffic for other competing services over its broadband network. In other words, net neutrality by default because they bought NBC, and it must sell standalone internet services with 6 megabit download speeds for about $50 per month without being tied to a cable TV package. That's beautiful for those of you that are on Comcast. So we'll see what happens here, but Comcast is going to be held to make this happen, at least with the NBC content and all the different properties that came with that. Random House has been one of the few publishers that still is not making available ebooks. Today they reverse coursed, and the agency is going to be making available digital titles of all of their collection, and they're basically laying out their terms that they want. So this is good. So this means that all of the 6 largest publishers are going to be switching to the to agency pricing. And this is good. This is good news. So that you're going to have Random House books available on the iPad and other devices like the Kindle here very, very soon. If you are an Android user, man, you need to be careful of the apps that you're downloading. It appears that infected Android apps are running up texting bills. Hackers has upped the ante by adding more malicious features to legitimate smartphone apps, says Symantec. A rogue Android app that's been tweaked can hijack a smartphone and run up texting bills before the owner's even known it. What they're doing is they're texting these premium services, and the premium services, of course, are being run by the people that are putting out these malicious apps. So you end up with a SMS texting bill that's very expensive for sending a text to someone that costs you $5 to send it there. And you never knew that you did it. And they're doing it over and over and over again. So smartphone owners should be wary of unauthorized app stores. And downloading app from one of these third-party sites is really like downloading a Windows app from a Juarez site. And this is, use at your own risk here, okay? Link will be up in the show notes, of course. Boy, there's been some criticism here over the last 24 hours of Apple and their new MacBook Pros. Apple's new MacBook Pro has some quality of build problems that shouldn't be seen in a notebook that costs $1,800. The folks over at MacBookProiFixit.com, which is a site that does teardown of electronics and publishes do-it-yourself repair guides, found all kinds of issues in the assembly of a MacBook that they purchased. Stripped out screws. There was stuff that was not connections that weren't locked. They found issues in around the speaker. Just a whole variety of issues, including way too much excessive thermal paste. Thermal paste is basically a white paste that's put on a processor. So when you mat a heat sink onto it, you get better heat transfer. And it basically, there was way excess on that. Lots of pictures. But this raises some concern. Were these notebooks being rushed to market and people not taking enough time to put them together correctly? So if you have purchased a new MacBook Pro on this new line of MacBooks, be very, very careful and check, shake it a little bit and make sure that you can't hear screws rattling around when you open it up. If you do, immediately take it back to the Mac store and get an exchange because that's unacceptable. $1,800 to $2,500 for a baseline MacBook Pro, give me a break. That thing ought to be gold. You know, it should have a it should come with a gold insert at that price. It really should. So keep your eye on that if you're picking up a new MacBook Pro. Atlantic Records. Boy, you talk about music labels and you think, oh, what are they announcing? Their bankruptcy? Well, it appears that Atlantic Records is trying to figure a new way to make you come to their website and check their artist out. So they're trying to redefine music labels by offering up all kinds of nostalgia stuff, which is kind of cool. So, for example, one of the things that they've put up on their website is a memorabilia of Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, Led Zeppelin. They're putting stuff up even now immediately from Bruno Mars. Of course, Bruno's from here in Hawaii. And so they're all kinds of they're doing all kinds of stuff too, where it allows visitors to tailor and make the site based on their own music genre preferences, and it pulls information from Facebook like features and so forth, local band suggestions. So very cool stuff here that they're doing, and they have to really reinvent themselves, and they're gonna have to do something because obviously they're all in trouble. All right, those of you that live in the UK, Advertising Watchdog is going to be monitoring website words, and this is big. This is a big move by the organization called the ASA and the Advertising Standards Authority, and this is a UK-based group. They're going to be watching a variety of websites, and they're making sure that UK companies and or advertising is being done on UK sites are meeting the UK advertising code. So they're going to be looking at all kinds of different content. Now, this is going to be primarily aimed at sites that are on the .co.uk domain suffix, but their powers also, they're also saying that they can look at the .com area, stuff on Facebook and so forth, but they are going to be watching what companies are saying and what is being written to make sure that what's being said is the truth and, quote unquote, nothing but the truth. So apparently since 2008, the watchdog group has received more than 4,500 complaints containing text on websites that it couldn't do anything about. So it's going to be digging into what's being written on websites, not only just banner ads and so forth. Over on ArsTechnica.com, the Republicans in the House have basically said no compromise, absolutely no compromise on net neutrality. Well, you know, there's always compromise. We see that happening right now. But the congressional fight over net neutrality looks to be a brutal one here. And this is what was said it was John Bonner, Republican of Ohio. He says, the last thing we need, in my view, is the FCC serving as internet traffic controller and potentially running roughshod over local broadcasters who have been serving their communities with free content for decades. At the end of the last Congress, some members of Congress sought a compromise on net neutrality that would give Washington temporary control of the internet while we sort this all out. He goes on to say, as far as I'm concerned, there's no compromise or middle ground when it comes to protecting our most basic freedoms. So our new majority in the House is committed to using every tool at our disposal to fight a government takeover of the internet. We're also going to do what we can to see that no taxpayer dollars are used to fund these net neutrality rules. So Marisha Blackburn, another Republican from Tennessee, who has introduced legislation already to strip the FCC of any net neutrality rules. I thought I had that up there for you. She has got legislation in process already, so she doesn't want basically this legislation going forth. I think they're going to be in for a big fight because obviously the House is controlled by the Republicans, the Senate is controlled by the Democrats, and they can, you know, both of them can say they're going to do what they're going to do, but at some point these two groups are going to have to come together and find a happy medium. It doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. Anyway, that's what's the latest in the net neutrality front. Love to hear your comments at geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, of course, is 619-342-7365. Now, big announcement by the ICANN. They basically said, and this is a good thing, this is a win on our part here, and says no government veto. No government veto over controversial top-level domains. So less than 2 weeks away from the ICANN's conference in San Francisco, representatives from the organization's government advisory committee has rejected a U.S. Department of Commerce proposal that would give the GAC members veto power on new domain endings. Now, what they've said to the GACs, and this is to all governments submit stuff to the ICANN, I guess this is everybody, every government in the world. He said at the beginning of the initial evaluation period, ICANN will provide the GAC with a detailed summary of all new GTLD applications. Any GAC member may raise an objection to a proposed string for any reason. They go on to say that the GAC will consider any objection raised by a GEC member or members and agree on advice to forward to the ICANN board. GAS advice could also measure to mitigate GAC concerns. For example, the GAC could advise additional scrutiny and conditions should apply to strings that could impact on public trust. Now, what they're trying to prevent here is a government coming in and opposing a domain name that would be like maybe .humanrights or .gay or .sex or .xxx, whatever it may be. They're trying to prevent any single country from coming in and vetoing a new extension. So. It says, if ICANN's board takes an action on GTLDs not consistent with the GAC advice, the board will provide a rational force decision. So that's pretty cool. So we'll see what happens on March 18th when they go and meet. If they agree on this, we may have a way forward in preventing countries, not without the exception, the United States or any country for preventing a specific top-level domain from coming on board. there is a war going on between Sony and hackers. And we, of course, we've talked about the American hacker who is fighting Sony in a big way and actually is raising some more money, or I raised some more money for some additional legal support. But a German PlayStation 3 hacker has escalated his battle with Sony almost a week after Sony had authorities raid his home and take his computer gear. And basically, this guy is enraged. He said, and this is in reference to Sony, he says, they still do not get how my mind works. Graf Chocolo wrote in comments to his websites, they want to make an example of me to show the other hackers what will happen to you if they mess with Sony. But they chose the wrong person. I'm not a spineless sheep they thought me to be. Take care, Sony, because I could make an example of you. So what he did a week afterwards, he released basically a most hackers' dream. It's the Bible and the guideline of how to hack a Sony PlayStation 3. And he put it up on the internet. And basically, come on, let's go. So anyway, Sony's going after this guy in a big way. You know, Sony's trying to keep files off the internet that people can use to hack their PlayStation 3s, but I don't think they're going to have much luck here. This is one of those things that has already gone viral and the cat is out of the bag. All right, this next article over at theregister.co.uk, and let me see, how should I say this without going, keeping the show child safe? Apple's acting headman, Tim Cook, told an investment analyst that the iPhone is more important than... I'll let you fill in the blank. Apple CEO and Jobin said that he ranks the iPhone just below food and water. Just below food and water. Oh, who is he kidding? Who is he kidding? If they start saying that kind of stuff and are feeling that they are so self-indulgent that and so self, oh my gosh, this is a, oh man. Wow, that's funny. It really, really is. I have the link up in the show notes. Oh my gosh. Hey, over on Doc Searle's weblog at blogs.law.harvard.edu/doc. And he's been watching everything that's been going on in Libya via Al Jazeera's streaming news channel. And he goes on to say, here's a great idea for TV news departments. Start streaming 24/7, 365 on the net. He says, you don't need to have first-rate stuff, and it doesn't all have to be live. He says, loop 15 minutes of news, weather, and sports to start. Bring in local place, blog, and social media volunteers. Whatever it takes, you figure it out. Just make it constant, because that's what TV was in the first place and what will remain after the internet finishes absorbing it, which will happen eventually. Now is the time to get ahead of the curve. Shh, Doc, don't tell him this. Don't tell him this, okay? We got a secret, all right? We got a secret here. We don't want them to figure this out. Well, they already know. They really, really do. But how many of you live away from where you grew up? Would you like to watch your local news from your local news station on the internet? Would you like to stream what's happening back in your hometown? I think I would. And it's specifically certain type of content, and it would definitely be good, but time will tell. But he has a whole, man, he just goes into this whole article. But he says he's been watching all this stuff that's been going on in Libya and Al Jazeera. No one else has been able to bring them coverage like they have. So, you know, whatever your political views may be on Al Jazeera, at least, you know, at this point, and of course, I know some of their, well, most of their commentary is a little slanted, but it just shows you where the OTT market can really go. It really does. All right, this should upset many of you. Facebook plans to resume address and phone sharing. Now, despite criticism from Congress, they're going to be resuming the rollout of this feature that will allow the sharing of addresses and mobile phone numbers. And some they're saying optional, but we'll see how they implement this. But once again, they're trying to get our information out there, share it and sell it. This morning I woke up, I came into the office here and I loaded up email and I had a message on Facebook that someone, two or three people liked my status, and I hadn't updated my status in about 12 hours. So I went in and looked at the status, and it was there was a picture on my wall that was something I would never, ever, ever put up on my Facebook page. And matter of fact, it was one of those types of images that, if my wife had seen it, she'd been in here beating on me. And, completely inappropriate for anything that I do and staying child safe. And I immediately deleted it. And I'm like, where did this come from? And I still have not been able to figure out how that particular item got up on my page. I had liked a couple of articles from some sites that I hadn't visited lately. And I don't know if something got redirected and it was a front for some other information, but it really blew me away. Of course, the way they're changing likes now is if you like an article, it'll post up to your wall and you can't unlike it on the site that you're at, but you can delete it off your wall and it posts a link and everything else. And this is what it really looked like. It looked like I had went to a site and I had liked something when I really did not. And I just couldn't believe no one actually had commented. I guess people figured out I didn't get any negative reaction because people obviously knew that it wasn't for me, but it was made me go, it just freaked me out. It really did. And have you had anything show up in your wall on Facebook that made you go, where did that come from? You know, I checked all my apps too, and nothing seemed to link up. But it just goes, you know, going back to this original article, this sharing of address and phone information, especially my mobile number, you know, there has got to be some way to completely opt out of what they're planning on doing. Texas Governor Rick Perry has been blocking media from his Twitter account. You know, what is that? That's pointless, right? You're a public official. You're elected. You're followed by reporters. What you say can and will be used against you in the newspapers. But he's been blocking specific media journalist from his Twitter account. Now, if it was me and if I was the journalist and I got blocked by the Texas governor, I would just create a new Twitter account with some weird name and I would get my information regardless. It's pointless. Why would you block someone on Twitter? Well, especially if you're a public official. It just, here I am talking about it. And if you don't want someone to see something, don't say it. You're going to say it on there. It's going to get out anyway. You're just causing someone to get upset. Maybe it's trying to make a point with somebody. I don't know. Hey, one of the coolest things I saw today, for those of you that are pilots out there, the Federal Aviation Administration today okayed iPads for pilots. So this is pretty excited. You can use your Jepson charts now with your iPad. And they got some rules that are coming out, and it's based on, you know, if you're your own private pilot, you don't have to go through your company, but they've come out with some rules and procedures on this, and pretty cool stuff here. So, you know, you can file your flight plan from your iPad, and then you can carry your iPad out to they're going to have to come up with knee boards for those things. And for those of you that don't know what a knee board is essentially, something they can strap to the leg and they can put their chart on, or they'll have a place in the cockpit where you'll be able to put your iPad. The only thing I would worry about flying is you're really subject to a lot of, you know, heavy light at times. And I'd be worried about not being able to really see the iPad when the sun was shining on it, coming in through the window. So I think that would be the only worry I would have, especially, you know, having flown as many years as I did. But it was tested in 10 different aircraft, flown by 55 pilots during 250 flight hours, all across 250 flights, and people had no issue, and they integrated and worked well with it. You know, it's one of those things, I think no matter what, you probably should have a paper backup in the cockpit. Just because I love my electronics, but, you know, you spill coffee on the thing and it shorts out and all of a sudden you don't have your charts no more. You're going to have your hands full with your aircraft, air traffic control, but, you know, especially depending on what type of flight you're flying. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this new ruling by the FAA. You know, Gaddafi's been sending text messages to his people, mass text messages. That's what happens when the government controls the mobile services. He went out and had a text message sent to nearly every Libyan citizen. Think that's going to win him over? I really don't think so. I really don't think that's going to help too much. I really don't. Okay, over on Scoble's site, he's got talking about this new site called Angel List. And I went and checked this out. It's angel.co. Great use of a .co domain name. You can pick up at GoDaddy.com. AngelList.co. If you're doing it, have a startup, and you want, you know, there's rules out there. So if you're, for example, I am the CEO of Raw Voice. And if I start saying stuff about raising money and wanting to, you know, hypothetically, let's just be very careful here. Okay, let me use a different example. If I have a new company and I start talking about publicly trying to raise money and trying to find investors and so forth, there's some very serious SEC rules where you can get in big, big trouble by basically pitching to people that are not often, basically, it's, you can get a lot of trouble. Long story short. So what this angel.co site does is allows you to go in, put up your profile, put up your company's pitch, and then you select VCs and angels and certified investors. You can send this pitch over to them where they can see the prospectus. And it's kind of a weird rule for the SEC, isn't it? Don't you think anyone should be able to just invest in a company? I think that would be better, but they all think that if you're not have a certain, the SEC feels if you don't have a certain net worth or have you're not, they quite terminate. It's almost like they say you're not smart enough to invest wisely. And I guess it's to protect the, you know, the investor that doesn't have a lot of experience from being scammed. But I think in this day and age, it's a crock. But anyway, because of the SEC, their site is not open to the public, but you can go and pitch VCs, angels, and authorized investors. So very interesting. Of course, there's some disclaimers on the site. You got to do your due diligence and have a, the lawyer needs to, you know, vet everything and so forth. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hey, I want to thank Google for their search engine change. Whatever they did, man, the Geek News Central traffic has doubled. The Geek News Central search results. In other words, people coming to the website from the search engine, my traffic's doubled in the past week. And a lot of people are seeing better search results on Google as well. You guys seeing that since they made these changes to their search formula? A lot of people are complaining. A lot of sites have gotten hammered. And these content farms are crying. Boy, they have gotten destroyed. And Mahalo.com, I guess, took a heavy, heavy hit, along with a variety of other websites. We've talked about this on some previous, on the previous show. But some are saying 40 or 50% of traffic is dried up overnight. And good, get rid of these content farms. Original content, like we produce at Geek News Central, is the place to direct those search results at. Good article over on Techno Materia. In other words, Winley.com. A good write-up by the CTO of Kinetic. Talks about his company and what happened when they didn't raise some funding and some of the things they had to do to save the business. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you. You guys do any self-publishing? Do you hear about this 26-year-old that's making a couple million dollars a year cutting out traditional publishers with the Amazon Kindle? 26-year-old Amanda Hocking is the best-selling indie writer on the Kindle store, and she has no publishing deals. She's done a number of short-form books. She's selling about 100,000 copies a month, and she's pricing them between $3 and $0.99 and making $1 to $3 million a year. Congratulations to her. 26-year-old self-publisher. It's a beautiful thing. Completely cutting out the middleman. So if you've got the chops to write, there is a chance and there is an opportunity to make money. Great article over on lifehacker.com talking about how to automatically down TV shows as soon as they're aired or turn your PC into a TiVo. This is a great article. This has lots of instructions, lots of resources. Essentially, if you are a cable cutter like I am, you're going to be able to help yourself find some of that content that may not be available via normal means. And they talk about using BitTorrent and so forth. So again, be careful out there with the copyrighted material, but this is a great tutorial by the folks over at lifehacker.com. Got to share this with you on the screen. You guys got to see this. You guys seen the new Heinz tomato ketchup packet? You know, I'm one of these guys. I'm a big Heinz. I like my Heinz ketchup. If someone puts some other ketchup on the table, you can take it away. I really like Heinz, man. I don't know if you're that way or not, but I know that my lovely wife brought home another company, another brand of ketchup one time. And, you know, it did go in the refrigerator, but it was many, many months before she couldn't figure out, why isn't nobody eating ketchup? And I said, honey, make sure, please, next time buy Heinz. So anyway, I'm here, I'm giving Heinz props, but this new package, you can peel to dip or you can tear off to squeeze. Very smart. Very, very smart packaging. And you're going to see this in sauce tubs at Burger King and Chick-fil-A and some other places like that. This is going to be a huge, huge success. Whoever thought this up, boy, they've just earned their bonus for the whole year. This is an amazing, this will revolutionize ketchup packets. You're not going to have ketchup packets anymore. This thing is too cool. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes. Yes, I'm excited about a new ketchup dispenser. Not the big ones, the little ones, okay? All right. If you have gotten a product from Best Buy and you are looking to take that product back because they're doing some buybacks of gear, there's a good write-up on digitaltrends.com. And I'm just going to really lay this out in one sentence. Best Buy's genius gimmick buyback trade-in program is a total rip-off. So I'll have this thing up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Hey, you know, if you have a brand new TV and it's only 6 months old, they're going to give you a 50% back. Yeah, they're going to give you a whole whopping 50% back on that TV that's only 6 months old. If it's 24 to 48 months old, they're going to give you a whopping 10% back on that TV. Can you believe that? I've sold CRT TVs. Yes, the ones with tubes. Not tubes, but it's a basic CRT. I had a couple of them in the garage. I sold them for $50 each. They're like 10 years old. You can sell TVs and that kind of stuff at a much better price. Don't take them back to Best Buy. All right, Facebook is, I've already talked about the new like button and how they've changed the actions on that. I have a link up in the show notes for you. I got a couple of things here too I'm going to go through real quick. First time that four different space fleets have been linked together. Of course, the International Space Station has lots of traffic up there right now. You've got the Russia, European Space Agency. You've got the Japanese up there, and you have the United States. So we've got all kinds of traffic. They're talking about extending the shuttle mission one day so that they can take one of the Soyuz spacecrafts and fly a loop around the space station to get a picture of all this. So we'll see if that actually happens. More news on the space front. Great video from some folks that were in an airplane. They actually caught the launch, and the guy put it up on YouTube. So I have a link up in the show notes for that. You can check that out. So pretty cool seeing the Space Shuttle Discovery launch from a commercial aircraft. Talk a little bit about the spacewalk today, where they had some troubles, but the teams with the robotic arm, the teams were able to shift right, go to a different station, and plug in, and we actually got them going. So they had their first successful spacewalk today, and the 200th person has walked in space. So that's an accomplishment as well on this STS-133. And one of the cool things they did this time for the Japanese Space Agency is that they captured space in a bottle. Yes. They opened a bottle and captured some vacuum and closed the bottle. They're going to bring it back to Japan. They're going to seal the bottle with some sort of fusion process to make sure that the glass is, I don't know exactly what they're going to do here, but this is a goodwill thing to showing the bridging of space and Earth. I'll leave it to the Japanese to come up with something like that. Okay, so they captured some space today in a bottle. A couple more articles here for you. Lenovo has come up with a 65-watt AC adapter charger for your laptop. And it gives you some extra USB ports. So not only can you charge your laptop, you can plug in at the same time some USB devices to charge. This is a very innovative charger, very cool stuff. It's going to be available for $75, available at the Lenovo online store. And very, very cool. Let's talk a little bit here. Last thing on basically some gizmos. Matrox has come up with a KVM extender. So if you've got a server that's off in the boondock somewhere and you want to be able to still control it locally at your desk and you have the ability to run fiber optic lines, you can extend your desktop or extend the ability to control your desktop out as far as 1,000 feet or actually 1 kilometer. So very, very cool stuff here. And you can basically have the mouse and the keyboard and everything right there at your desk. You use this this Matrox XDO F2208 KVM extender, and then the fiber optics runs back to the PC and allows you to control the PC remotely. So very cool stuff there from the folks at Matrox. Pirate Bay has gotten some money. Actually, not Pirate Bay themselves, but a person that's going to be doing a documentary on Pirate Bay has gotten some government funding. A Swedish filmmaker, Simon Kloss, has received over $30,000 in funding from the Swedish government. The money will be added to the $50,000 that was already donated by peers through a successful Kickstarter project, and they're essentially going to be doing a documentary on the Pirate Bay. A little more information from torrentfreak.com. 70% of the public finds piracy socially acceptable. This is a trend that's trending upwards on people thinking that pirating is okay. A recent study of moral standards and whether some law breaking is socially acceptable revealed an interesting stance on file sharing among the public. Of those questioned in the study, 70% said that downloading illicit materials from the internet is acceptable. 3 out of 4, however, felt it was completely unaccepted to then sell that product for a profit. Well, I guess they've got some standards, some moral standards. At least they're not going to resell it. That's pretty amazing. Now, this study was not done in the United States. It was a Danish study, and primarily asked by Danish citizens. So, interesting perspective there. From this report. John C. Dvorak, man, he is just sick and tired of being sick and tired of hearing about Apple all the time. Of course, Wednesday, we're going to have the iPad 2 announcement. We're probably going to know that there's going to be a forward and rear-facing camera, plus all the other stuff that's going to be announced with the new iPad. But aren't you guys about sick of the continuous hype and blabbermouth machine of Apple and what may be coming and what is this and what is that? It's every single day. Someone's got I've got a little secret about something that's going to be coming out of an Apple product. It's like makes me want to puke. It really does. So I have to agree. For the first time in a long time, I agree with John C. Dvorak. I can't believe I'm saying this out of my two lips. He goes on to say, we can't go 2 days without some Apple rumor or scandal. It's ridiculous, but will definitely increase the sale of Apple products. I agree. I'm sick and tired of every day hearing something about Apple. Ugh. And of course, this morning there was a supposed Trojan malware that came out for the Mac OS X. Turns out it was a hybrid of a Trojan that was originally designed for Windows machines. The OS News folks at osnews.com said, oh, nothing to worry about. This is more hype than action. But this thing can do some damage if it gets in your machine. But the article that started this was actually sponsored by, you guessed it, a antivirus/malware company. Security companies trying to get us everyone scared. All right, I got a cool gadget here for you. It's called the MagLite XL100. I love MagLite products. I really, really do. They make some good stuff. It used to always drive me crazy, though. I would drop the lights, and sometimes I'd bust the bulbs. But this is it's got some smart features in it. It's got a little gyro in it, and you can control it by doing some motion control with the device. Available for $32, and it's pretty cool stuff. They got a pretty cool video. I have the link up in the show notes for you to check it out. All right. So anyway, I found that over at ogizmo.com. Any of you camera buffs out there? This is getting some rave reviews. It's called the Ring Flash Adapter. And I have this, I'll link this up for you. $40. This thing's inexpensive. It hooks up to your XLR camera. And for $40, it produced pretty nice flash. And so far, no negative responses on this, okay? All right, one last one here for happy sakes before we get ready to kick out of here for the day. How many of you can go over to channel? Those of you that have Rogers in Canada, please go to channel 208 and tell me this is really not what's on TV up there. Rotisserie chicken cooking is what is on channel 208, 24/7. It's HD content provided by Rogers. It's even got crackling and sizzling sound effects. I don't understand. Why? Why would they do that? Can you explain why they would dedicate a channel to showing rotisserie chicken? Of course, I guess if Ustream can dedicate channels to showing just puppies in a box, why not? I got some cord cutter survival stories for you over at GigaOhm.com in their new TV section. I have that link up in the show. And we got also another story here to wrap up. Comcast is not going to go streaming, but one of our satellite providers may. So what's happening is Dish is considered bringing a streaming option to the public. Not only will you be able to get Dish via the air, you can get Dish via the internet. So they're thinking about bringing that to you. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. Got a couple of emails here, and then we'll bounce everybody out. Let me check here with the comments for the show today. Had no voicemail calls. So, again, if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. He got an email from here from Andrew. Hey, Todd, hope all is well. I heard you request for a solar fan. I remember this one from Costco. Actually, Andrew, I saw this thing yesterday. I haven't seen it in action, but the reviews are generally good. So, anyway, they've got I think it's about $700. So, I actually was looking this thing over and turning it and shaking it and, of course, we get hurricanes here in Hawaii. So, I'm looking at these things. What happens is this thing gets ripped off the top of my roof when a hurricane comes. So, the one that the Costco sells sets pretty high. So, I'm looking for something that's a little flatter that they make here. It's a little more conducive to Hawaii's weather. But any of you got one of those on there in a storm area? What's the recommendations for these things when you're expecting high winds? Last thing you want is a hole in your roof. He sent me a couple more links. He said Zoom 4G upgrade could take 6 days, and also an overview of a Thunderbolt from Intel and Apple. Thanks for that, Andrew. Appreciate it. Got an email here from Ron. He said, hey, Todd, heard you talking about Amazon Prime and your desire to give it a try. To best of my knowledge, Amazon Prime is not available in Hawaii. Of course, you should find out otherwise. Please let me know. I guess that was it. Just two emails. So, again, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. Love to hear your comments about the show. And also, most importantly, don't forget to get your free book at audible.com. All you got to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/CES to pick up that free book. Okay. Get your free book on me by going to audiblepodcast.com/CES. Get that free trial. It's definitely appreciated. Helps take care of business for us and get you some free reading material. Okay, everyone, that's it. That's all I got for tonight. Everyone, thanks so very much. We'll see you back here Thursday evening live or release of the show Friday morning. Comments again, please send your comments into geeknews@gmail.com. Love to hear how you think how the show's been going lately. And also, oh, I just wanted to share with you guys one thing. One way to get in trouble with your wife. See this? Here's my GoDaddy check. GoDaddy check number one. GoDaddy check number two. Here's my Raw Voice check. I had deposit slip all set up, had them stamped, was all ready to go and make my bank deposit so I could pay my light bill. And I left it in my pocket and my wife did the laundry. There's my advertising revenue. I screamed. They're reissuing the checks for me, but for the first time in my entire lifetime, I literally washed some checks. I guess that's what they call laundering money, but I guess it wasn't really money. Fellas, make sure you take stuff out of your pockets, okay? Especially when you're relying on this to make your house payment and, you know, pay the electric bill and everything else. What can you do? What idiots will do. And boy, that was a dumb one on my part. All right, folks, everyone take care. I thought you'd get a good laugh on that. Everyone, see you next time. Aloha.